You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us.
National Postal Mail Handlers Union. Strength and solidarity. Podcast for you.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be one.
Good morning, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, and on today's podcast, we want to take a positive journey. I'm going to spend 15 minutes in a response to somebody I regard as a person who knows. Mr. Brain posted something on my page today, and I was so inspired by what it was he posted that I'm going to try and embellish on what he initiated on the show today. And it was about unions, strong unions. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And I understand that. And what I want to say, though, is before we start this dialogue, is sometimes when you are discussing the positives, there's going to be a couple of negatives that you have to address in order to keep the conversation positive. So let's have a conversation this morning, and let's talk about what we need to build, what we need to do to build a stronger union. What do we need to do to get people involved in the union? And last but not least, and I like the point that he made, if you're not going to get involved, then go take a seat on the side somewhere and let it be. I want to start off by saying this conversation is not specific to my current branch and current local. This conversation we're going to have today talks about unions anywhere and everywhere, because the principles of seniority, the principles of let's get together and be strong, applies to any organization that is lucky enough to have a union. Now, on several occasions when I have podcasts that it's important that you grasp the concept, I always invite my partner Jane in. Jane comes in and asks questions that many of you want to ask, but feel like, nah, I'm going to let that pass. So Jane and I are going to discuss this morning what it takes, what it's going to take, or what it should take to have a positive union, a strong union, a union that members can be proud to take a part of. Hey, good morning, Jane. How are you doing today?
Well, good morning, Kenny. Kenny, okay. Postal Podcast.
That's,
here we go.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're doing today. You know, as you've seen that post from Mr. Brain,
it talks about
the word union, what it means. And again, I want, and it's important for me, for everyone to know that I consider myself that union builder. And when I say that, I mean, I'm willing, I'm ready to get active, to be a part of whatever is going to take.
Well, I think you've always been a part, or for several years now. But, you know, what I wonder now, because it's a different era, I mean, my dad was a huge, huge union man. And fought for many members, and he was on the grievance committee. He was head of the grievance committee, so you can imagine. But the thing that I see you, you know, you already have that by nature, you're interested and engaged. However, I think the unions have changed.
Well, yes, they have changed. And honestly, I think that they've not changed for the better.
No.
I think that there was a time in America where unions were mandatory, and the efforts that they've made for members during those times are awesome, and we still enjoy the benefits of that today. But I think today, I think that they're more complacent in the fact that we'll just let it be. And I don't see on a lot of levels unions, not the APW, not the NALC, not the MPMHU. I'm talking unions. I don't see a whole lot of activity going on in unions that bring members in, that make them want to get active and make the union strong. You know, because if you encourage union member participation by more than just hanging a sign on a bulletin board, softball teams, basketball teams, things of these nature that get people excited about your union. See, to me, this is what's this is one of the things that's missing as we try to grow a strong membership.
Well, and the three words that I just wrote down since we started here, and this is my question, is, okay, so the three words are union, strong, and leadership. So leadership has changed, you know, for right now. And don't you think all unions have forgotten why they have to be strong? I mean,
and you know, and again, it's these are hard words, but again, they're not meant to be hurtful. They're meant to be motivational. Yes, I definitely believe that a lot of union leadership have gotten comfortable with just getting paid. Now, and again, this new era of employee, that's not going to work. And if that new era employee understands that that senior leadership that's been in place, and I'm sorry, that's been in place forever, they're not accustomed. They're not actually set to deal with the current work environment. Now, let me just take a second and explain what I mean. A lot of your union leaders have been retired for so long, and God bless them, that the actual day-to-day decisions in a workplace, they do not and they will never truly grasp that anymore.
Right.
And that's hurtful to the union member. And I don't care who gets upset about that statement, I believe that to be true.
But, you know, you also, you have to be present.
Well, again,
the union has got to be present. And because by what I mean by that is, let's say you're new employees and new members. Really, if I worked in a situation where there was a union, which I have never done that. So I'm just saying, if I did, I would just want to come to my job, know that you're there. And but by knowing that, you have to be present. And I just want to do my job.
And you know what? There are way more union members that is their attitude. And let me be the first to say, that's not a bad attitude to have.
No.
There are some who want to get engaged and fight the fight and champion the cause. And there are some who want to just pay their dues and go on about life just knowing
they're protected.
That it's going to take place. You know, their protection is going to take place. It doesn't really matter where it comes from. They just, you know, they go on with knowing it's going to happen. And when it don't happen, now you get involved from a level of anger. And that's not good.
So back in the day, you know, like the 60s when unions were very strong, okay, everybody understood. Well, like you said, it was mandatory sometimes, or usually. So now everybody was kind of forced. It was shoved down their throat what they needed to know, what was going on, and how the union was going to help them. You got to go back to that. You got to go back to letting people know why you're there.
And you know what? It's so simple.
Yep.
Because, you know, right now, here's a general question I put out to anyone who hears this podcast. Again, doesn't matter what union you belong to, doesn't matter what organization. Let me ask you this. If your union said to you, listen, on Thursday, as a sign of solidarity, we're all going to wear blue striped shirts. And yes, I'm taking it to another level, bringing some humor, but understand there's a message here. If your union said, to show solidarity, next Thursday, we're all going to wear blue striped shirts. Now, let me ask you a question. And I mean, that's something very simple. How many of you would dedicate the time to make sure you got a blue striped shirt on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day in question is, to show solidarity?
I would do it.
I would too. Not a lot of you would. And I use such a simple example to show you that the union, for whatever reason, is okay with not having a power and authority, again, to make decisions that the people they are paid to represent respect enough to get in line with it. And if you take that a little more complicated, on the national level, there are arbitration decisions that are made that nobody on the local level pays attention to. You have the national fights an arbitration case. Excuse me, the employees come out on the winning side of that arbitration. Do you know you have to fight that same case again 4 months later? See, that's a lack of respect and a lack of strength. Because
right.
Once we won, we won. We took this territory. There's no refighting for this. But you look at how many times unions have national arbitration decisions that nobody pays attention to on the local level. And when I say pay attention to it, I mean you find yourself back in arbitration citing the previous arbitration victory because you know why that happens? And I don't mean to sound very confusing. That happens because management don't have a lot of respect for unions anymore. And there is nothing that the union is doing that I can see that's building that solidarity so that management understands when the president, a national president of any union, says, this is what we're going to do, and the membership respect that position enough that everybody does it. When I say everybody, nothing's absolute. The much greater percentage follows that instruction. See, now you send a message to management that I must negotiate different with this union because they stick together. They understand.
Everybody's on board.
Everybody's on board. And we don't have that, and there's nothing I see being done to try to get that.
Well, and when somebody does request to do a menial representation of the union, for example, like you said, the blue, I don't think a union is going to ask their members to do something that's harmful. So, I mean, do you see what I mean?
Yes, but you know what, though, and that's an excellent point. A union is not going to ask the members to do something that's harmful. But what happens now, and again, in so many industries, the employees do not have that kind of respect for their unions. They don't have the knowledge or the firm, or as we used to say, the warm, fuzzy feeling that their unions are going to protect them. So therefore, the respect to follow these instructions are always questioned. And again, I just think that if we really want on so many different levels to have a strong union, then members, when it comes to your voice being heard, you have to make better choices. Again, if you choose an employee who was known to sleep at work more than they ever worked, if you choose that person to be your leader, then you chose that type of leadership. Sometimes you got to know what you get what you ask for. If you find that person who is constantly working, and when I'm talking about working a lot harder than even need be, if that person is elected to office, well, you know what kind of leadership you're going to get. So the choices you make determine the type of leadership that you get. So again, sometimes we have to be very careful of what we ask for, because when you get it, you realize, you know what, maybe that's really not what I wanted, but it's sure what I asked for. Didn't mean to sound too ambiguous on that, but again, I speak to unions in every different industry, because some things are universal, and poor leadership will always, not sometime, always lead to a poor union. You can believe that if you want to. You tell me one company, one organization that's got poor leadership, but they are effective, efficient, they are profitable. You can't. So we have to choose our leaders better. We have to help make our union stronger. And that's one of the ways that we can do that. Or the leadership that you have in place right now, you got to lean on them. And when I say lean on them, I mean reach out to them. Inundate them with your issues, because you got to understand, that's not a job you get drafted for. You request that job. So you can't request a job without requesting the work that comes with it. So those leaders that you have, make them show themselves worthy to us as members, to you as members. And if not, then you know what you have to do. You have to decide, do I want to do better, or do I want to keep the status quo? Help yourself help yourself. Hey, listen, that's all the time we have on this podcast today. Again, strong leadership in unions is paramount. But understand, unions, the coming together of people, don't ever forget that. And if we come together focused on one agenda, I guarantee it doesn't matter the industry that you're currently in, management of that industry will stand up and take notice. Have a good day. Let's say goodnight, Jane.
Good night.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe we ought to say good morning again.
Oh, that's right. Well, I thought, I didn't know how long this was going to be.
All right. Have a good day. We'll talk to you.